This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew, taking a big drink of water.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we are completely professional after 13 and a half years of doing it.
It took us a while to get here, but we've just received our professional certification from the International Podcasting Standards Board.
That's right.
Like mine is up on my wall behind me here. I got it framed at the frame shop. It says Matthew Amster Burton, real deal podcasting professional, not a joke.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly what mine says too.
Why does yours have my name on it?
Anyway.
Dad jokes.
God, that was perfect.
Right. This just in. I've just been certified by the International Dad Jokes Certification Agency. They gave me like the top level certification.
Well, you've had a lot of years of dadding to get really good.
And they've been tracking me the whole way, like in a really like creepy way.
Okay. Well, you know what they probably know about you is that you love French bread pizza.
That's true.
That is the topic of today's episode.
I really do. And this episode was suggested by a friend of the show, Watzel.
Friend of the show, Watzel. Wow. What kind of friend?
I mean, like a friend of the show with benefits. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you mean like you get your benefits through Watzel?
That's 100%
you
true.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so thank you to wife of the show, Lori, aka Watzel, for suggesting today's episode, which is French bread pizza, which I would like to say up front, I did the research for, and I've got a lot of questions.
Oh, okay. I don't think I can necessarily answer them, but I'll do my best. Like, I mean, this is a thing where you like put pizza toppings on French bread. I don't know that it has like, you know, a venerable history, but maybe it does.
No, but here's where I want to start. So,
yeah.
Well, let's start on memory lane. Hold on.
I was just going to say.
Matthew, you go first.
Okay. I remember my first French bread pizza experience, but certainly like the one I remember first was walking down to Pizza Express in Portland, which was the like local non-chain pizza place closest to my house. And they had a French bread pizza lunch special, which was a big French bread pizza with two toppings, like for one hungry teenager size serving for $1.99.
Let's remind the listener what year this was. This was 1912.
The year was 1912. I had just arrived on the Titanic. Everything went great. I met some
you'd
great friends
ashore.
There. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This guy, Jack, Billy Zane, etc. I took the Oregon Trail from the iceberg to Portland. I did some hunting along the way, forded some rivers, and then I went to Pizza Express, and it really would have been like 1987, okay. Probably.
Okay.
The $2 pizza age.
Okay. And then what happened after that? No, but I mean, like, how did we get from 1988 at Pizza Express to the present day.
Okay. I think then, like, I like, sometime I kind of sort of forgot about French bread pizza. Like, I still make English muffin pizzas sometimes, but then, like, during the, like, 2020 era of the pandemic, when we were doing a lot of grocery orders, like, Stouffer's French bread pizza became, like, a really important freezer item for us, just like, you know, that if we felt like if there were a couple of those in the freezer, like, things might be okay for the next couple of days.
Yeah, yeah.
December and I would eat those for lunch a couple times a week.
Here's where the big questions come in, Matthew.
Oh, okay, yes.
Just that when I sat down to start researching this, I realized that, so I had the phrase Stouffer's French bread pizza in my head.
Of course.
What I was imagining was Pepperidge Farm French bread pizza.
Oh.
Didn't Pepperidge Farm used to make a French bread pizza?
I'm sure they did. It seems like they would have. And there's also Red Baron frozen French bread pizza, which I've gotten sometimes. That's not as good as Stouffer's, but it's fine.
Well, so I remember on my memory lane having Pepperidge Farm French bread pizza. I remember the white package. And I was able to find on, like, Google Images, like, old packaging, what looked like the back of a Pepperidge Farm French bread pizza package.
It looks However, like this may no longer exist.
It does not exist anymore. I'm not even sure if Pepperidge Farm sells anything in the frozen section anymore.
They do. They sell like Texas toast garlic bread in the freezer, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, so, you know, yeah, I realize that the phrase Stouffer's French bread pizza is synonymous with French bread pizza.
Yeah,
but
it kind of
as
is.
I was researching this, it occurred to me that my memory is of Pepperidge Farm. And I would say that for me, my memory lane of this food product is as much about the food product itself as it is about the packaging, because there's always
for sure
that little, like, cardstock boat that it comes
yes
in that is foil on one side, right?
Right.
Right.
Is that like for microwaving?
Maybe. God, we are extremely well prepared for this.
No, it's fine.
So all this to say, I think that French bread pizza, when it first hit the frozen fruit section.
Frozen fruit fraction, yeah.
I think there were more brands. And now, really,
yeah,
it seems like Stouffer's has cornered the market, albeit there are other ones too.
Let's make this an episode about, like, corporate consolidation and mergers in the French bread pizza industry.
Well,
so focus on something we really know a lot about.
You know that one thing I specialize in is corporate history. And unfortunately, Stouffer's
so this one was
corporate
really boring
history was so boring.
The only thing I found that I thought was funny was that they started out as a stand-up milk counter. Did you encounter this?
I did not encounter the stand-up milk counter.
Like a chain of, like, stand-up milk restaurants. Can you imagine?
Is it because, like, you would get milk, like, on the go? Like, you were like, ooh, I am thirsty. I don't have time to stop, but I need a tall glass of milk.
I guess so. I mean, this sounds ridiculous to me today. And yet, like, if someone opened one in, you know, Williamsburg and it was, like, you know, grass-fed milk from so-and-so's farm, that wouldn't surprise me.
Didn't you tell me about someplace in Tokyo that had a milk tasting?
Yes, I recently went to a place in Tokyo that had a milk tasting. So
I guess
a milk bar is a totally normal thing.
There we go. Okay, hold on. So what I want to say is that this episode is also, not only is it not going to have a lot of corporate history, but it is going to have a lot of friend of the show knowledge.
Okay.
Via Kenji Lopez Alt.
Okay, great.
Because our friend of the show, J. Kenji Lopez Alt, wrote a piece and a recipe on French bread pizza on Serious Eats in 2013. As always, it said pretty much everything I ever wanted to know.
This is great. I didn't know about this at all. It doesn't surprise me because, like, right now, as we're recording this, the thing that Kenji is currently famous for is his article on Chicago thin crust bar pizza. And so, like, you know, eventually maybe Kenji's going to run out of pizzas to exhaustively document and make the perfect recipe for, but probably not for a while longer.
So, yeah, we'll link to his piece and his recipe for French bread pizza on Serious Eats. But it really, reading it was the first time it occurred to me that this was something people make at home and not just, like, a frozen thing.
Yeah.
Like, when we talked about making this episode, I was thinking of the frozen fruit.
Oh, I absolutely
was, the frozen
was too
fruit item.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it that way from now on. on.
No, we were definitely thinking of the frude. You could just call it frude for short. We know what you mean.
Is this something you would ever make at home? Have you ever just made this at home?
I don't think I have. I've made garlic bread, which I feel like is sort of in the same family.
Sure.
And like, you know, uses the same kind of like not too rustic bread, ideally.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the draw behind French bread pizza.
I was just going to ask, like, what's the point of French bread pizza?
Well, the point is you don't have to start with a dough, right? Yeah. You could start with something as simple and as cheap as a supermarket loaf of, quote, French bread, which is right. What Kenji recommends on Serious Eats, because a real baguette, real in quotes, has a kind of a more open and airy crumb structure.
So, and so the sauce would dribble down to the bottom. Gross.
And also, like, it tends to get a little like tough when you bake it. Anyway, supermarket soft French bread is the perfect vehicle for making French bread pizza at home for its texture, its crumb structure, etc. And it's cheap. And I mean, think about it. You don't have to like start earlier in the day with a packet of yeast, nor do you have to do the whole business of maybe buying pre-made dough and shaping it and rolling it and tossing it and whatever.
So, I mean, that's the case for homemade French bread pizza. Like, I want to make the case for frozen French bread pizza, because obviously you can get like a small frozen regular pizza and not have to think about all of those things. So why would you choose a French bread pizza? Like, it's the crispiness and it's sort of the like one-handed format that just feels like lunch.
So I hadn't thought of these things in years, Matthew, until you and I were taping an episode. It could be the better part of a decade ago now.
Oh, sure.
And we were over at your house and you served what I could swear in memory was a Pepperidge Farm French bread pizza, but
no,
was probably
it was
a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
I got it at the milk bar.
And it was the first one I'd eaten since I was like a kid or a teenager. And it was so delicious. You and I shared one as like a late morning snack.
That sounds right.
It has, as you just pointed out.
Is it possible we did that because this is our second French bread pizza episode and we did a previous one in like 2012?
It's possible, but
okay,
no.
That's fine.
I think it's that you just happen to have some around for lunch.
Yeah.
And anyway, but what I was going to say is, you know, we've talked a lot on this show about Celeste pizza for one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And French bread pizza has a way better texture, I think, than other like single serving frozen pizzas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for one thing, unlike Celeste pizza, for one, it doesn't like form a cheesy layer that won't come off your teeth.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about where this stuff comes from, where this idea might have come from.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't know anything about this.
So looking at Kenji's piece on Serious Eats, which again, we'll link to, led me to an even older Serious Eats piece by Adam Cuban.
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing his name right, Matthew?
I think so.
That piece is a narrative piece without a recipe. It's about something called the Hot Truck, which is a food truck at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York.
In like what era?
You know what? I should look up this piece. Hold on. Let's look up the piece because at least—
Well, it says they invented the poor man's pizza in 1960. So this must have been like the 50s.
Except that, I mean, Adam Cuban was still able to go there at the time that this article was originally published.
Well, I mean, there are long running trucks.
Well, sure.
You know, you gotta like, you give it a tune up once in a while, change the oil.
There's this place called the Hot Truck at Cornell. What they were known for are their pizza subs.
Okay.
If you live in Ithaca, you can like let us know, perhaps on our Reddit or by writing into the show. Us know if you've ever been to the Hot Truck.
You know, something that may or may not be interesting. When you said pizza subs, like a part of me awakened that like when I was like in my 20s, I would have thought like a pizza sub is like one of the best foods and like I want one right now. And like now I kind of don't care about this idea anymore. Like I would still happily eat one, but it doesn't like have the give me the same kind of urge. But and yet that like part of me still is like pizza sub.
I get that. I mean, I feel like this is kind of the ultimate college campus food, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
You know, this is like the equivalent of going to the one dining hall that's open at 3 a.m. to get your shitty pizza. Except this is a pizza sub.
Mm-hmm.
At the Hot Truck. So here's what Adam Cuban wrote about the Hot Truck.
Okay.
If you've ever eaten a Stouffer's French bread pizza, you owe it to the hot truck. It's said that Stouffer's copied the idea after a Cornell alumnus asked the company to make a frozen version of what hot truck founder Bob Petrilos called the poor man's pizza, aka a PMP.
Are you down with PMP?
I am. Yeah.
yeah, that's good. Good. That's how the song goes. You down with OPP? You know what? Yeah, I am. Thanks for asking.
I'm fine with PMP. Petrilos. How do you think I should pronounce this?
I like Petrilos.
It sounds like it's related to cellulose or sucrose.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway, this is the hot
truck Cornell student synthesized Petrilos in the chemistry lab.
No.
And it became sentient and made a pizza sub.
Bob Petrilos was the hot truck founder, okay? So he invented the PMP in 1960 when he noticed cash-strapped college kids more often ordered slices of pizza than whole pies.
That's it.
From his family's pizzeria.
What a shrewd deduction.
Wow. If all he had to do was reheat the product, why not take the show on the road and park where the market was?
Oh, this is just like the story of soft serve.
That's right. My ice cream is melting. Let's go sell soft ice cream where the people are.
Yep.
So in this case, it was cash-strapped college kids like to buy slices. Let's take the slices to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The PM, it still doesn't explain like why this is the poor man's pizza. Like, why isn't he just serving a slice?
Well, I think it's just kind of like more convenient. It's probably easier to make in the truck for one thing. And also like, you know, it's more convenient to eat while walking across campus.
Sure, sure. Petrilos retired and sold the truck to his longtime friend and shortstop deli owner, Albert Smith, in 2000. That is a long run. Good job, Petrilos. The PMP and its several variations, which make for an alphabet soup of a menu, are simple in concept. A third of a loaf of light, airy Ithaca Bakery French bread is halved horizontally, spread with a generous amount of pizza sauce and mozzarella, and baked open face until the bread is satisfyingly crisp, then folded over to make the whole thing easily portable. Permutations include, and this is the fun part, the WGC, the wet garlic cheese.
Really? That people want to order a sandwich?
Okay. Wet garlic cheese. The MBC, meatball cheese.
Okay.
The TMBC, triple meatball cheese, and an extravaganza known as a suey, short for suicide garlic French bread, loaded with sauce, mushrooms, sausage, pepperoni, and mozzarella.
Okay, end I mean, that sound, does sound pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, Matthew, would you have gone for this one, the suicide garlic French bread with the extra sauce, mushrooms, sausage, pepperoni, and mozzarella? No, because you wouldn't have eaten the mushrooms, would you?
I love mushrooms. I love mushrooms on pizza.
Who are you again?
I'm your friend Jack from the Titanic. Much like I love mushrooms. I love French
here,
girls.
Come hold on to this board I'm floating on.
Oh, I think you're going to say, come hold on to the front of this truck with me and say I'm the king of the world.
Okay. Put your arms around me and let's drive this truck to the edge of the sea.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I feel like if there was one that was like just the pepperoni, that's probably the one, which I'm sure there was, that's probably the one I would have gone for.
I think that one is called just the pepperoni.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say it's called the PMRC.
What's that?
It was Tipper Gore's like explicit lyrics organization.
The PMRC?
The Parents Music Research Council, maybe? This was a really dumb time in American history.
Anyway,
unlike our current moment, which is a very smart time. Full of smart people.
That's right. Okay, Matthew. So hold on. We are going to bring this episode to some sort of closure.
Okay.
Matthew, so would you ever make French bread pizza from scratch at home, like the way that Kenji describes, or, you know, in the spirit of the hot truck, or are you just pretty much devoted to the frozen version?
That's a really good question. I want to synthesize Petrolos at home, but like realistically, no, I'm not going to make it because I already make like a couple of different kinds of regular pizza at home and I'm kind of set in my ways on that.
Yeah.
And I can get a Stouffer's French bread pizza and it's going to be tasty.
Yeah. I have to say, I did feel French bread curious after reading Kenji's recipe.
FBC.
I mean, I started out reading it and was like, no way I'm going to make this. And then by the time I got to like the part where he puts like a garlic butter on it, which helps amp up the crustiness and ward off sogginess, I was a little bit starting to write crappy French bread on my grocery
list. Okay, yeah. And like, I do, like, do you find like when you're in the deli section at the supermarket and they like put out like the hot, fresh baked French bread, it's pretty alluring, right?
I have to say, Matthew, that I don't go to my local Safeway or QFC. My local Safeway is
the most depressing Safeway in Seattle.
Depressing Safeway in Seattle. And the QFC near me, I don't think is very good.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't go to any grocery stores where there's like fresh baked bread.
The Safeway near me is pretty good. And like I do buy the French bread sometimes, usually for making garlic bread, but also like it's so soft and fluffy that like I have this urge to squish it in the supermarket and get like arrested.
Did you ever do stuff like that as a kid? Like just go?
No.
No?
I was a goody-goody kid.
Oh, I was a goody-goody kid too. But occasionally like, I mean, I can think of maybe one or two occasions where with a particularly good friend, we would kind of like lose our minds somewhere and do something like extravagantly bad.
Okay.
And then never again. And I'm pretty sure that we like assaulted a bunch of loaves of bread. And
okay.
I do remember, oh, Matthew, I've got a story for
you. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it.
I'm not going to say the friend I was with.
No,
but our
not.
Families were together. It was me and my parents and this friend and her parents. And we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma at a restaurant that our families really liked. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we were all doing there together. But anyway, this was like a moderately nice restaurant. Like you go in, you sit down, you have a meal.
It sounds super nicer than any restaurant I've ever gone to already.
Well, no.
Sit down, like at a table?
Well, no, but it wasn't like counter service, right?
Understand.
It was like full on. Like waiter
sit down
situation.
Restaurant, yeah, with full yep. on waiters.
My friend and I went to the bathroom together, and it was a single holer, right?
Sure.
We went in and
is that a phrase?
A one holer.
Wow, I've never heard that before. I like it.
Oh, really?
No.
My mom uses that.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a one holer. We went in together, and for whatever reason, and neither one of us were kids to do this kind of thing, but basically we lost our minds and TP'd the inside of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like just behaved so badly. Like if there was a stack of paper towels, we took it and we scattered it like everywhere. And we did dumb shit like all over the inside of the bathroom. And then we went and sat back down at the table. And a few minutes later, our server came over and tried to like gently let our parents
know
that we had done this. And we denied it to our parents.
Of course.
And our parents stuck up for us. And to this day, I don't think our parents know that.
Doesn't your mom listen to this show?
I don't think she
listens
anymore.
Okay, thank God.
But yeah, I still remember it. Like that was like a hot burning shame and like a real experiment for me. And like,
oh, sure.
can I do this evil thing? But I'm pretty sure I've also done things like go and squeeze loaves of French bread or try on mountains of heinous clothing that I had no intention of buying. Or you never did shit like that when you were like in middle school?
I mean, I think trying on clothing that you're not planning to buy is not a crime.
Well, no, but for the purposes of like entertaining yourself and your friends.
Oh, that doesn't sound entertaining.
Taking pictures and
to
stuff.
Me. I remember I have a vivid memory of like one time when I was in high school, a friend suggesting that we go shoplift from the Gap, and like I was like, oh no, do I have to like go along with this? I'm like, yeah, let's do something else. And luckily we did something else.
Oh man. So you've never shoplifted?
No.
Oh wow.
Is that true? I think I once like shoplifted apart from Radio Shack when I was a kid.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why they went out of business.
I mean, I love that between the two of us, you've shoplifted apart from Radio Shack, and I shoplifted some keychains and calligraphy pens from Hallmark.
This all tracks, yeah.
This really tracks. Okay. All right, Matthew, I'm sorry. How on earth did we get here?
I don't know. I don't remember at all.
I don't know either.
Because I talked about assaulting bread at the supermarket.
Oh, sure, sure. Anyway, so yeah, you find yourself like irretrievably drawn to the freshly baked French bread at Safeway. Mm-hmm.
You ever kill a man?
No.
Okay.
No.
Me neither.
Yeah. One thing I want to say that I am curious about French bread pizza these days is people are using their air fryers to cook it.
That makes
Again,
sense.
You and I speculated, I think, on the last episode what we thought an air fryer was. I mean, this sounds good to me. Sure.
Yeah, like make it even crispier.
Yeah, sounds good. Oh, Matthew, you wrote, wow, I would not microwave this.
No.
You wouldn't microwave it?
No.
Oh, yeah. If I bought a Stouffer's French bread pizza, I would full on assume that the proper way to cook it is in the microwave.
I mean, I think it probably says like recommended, like, you know, conventional oven recommended. I feel
that
like
seems
it was
too slow. Then
I feel
what
like
is
it would
the
get,
point of frozen
it would get, like,
food?
You know, soggy slash chewy.
I think I'm realizing something here. I think that my understanding of frozen food is that it is meant to not only be convenient, but also be really fast.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
And so I am absolutely right there with you, Matthew. It makes sense to me why we would never want to microwave a pizza.
But,
you would always want to put it in the oven. But I think of it as a convenience food. So therefore,
it's probably fine. I mean, to be honest, like they have like, you know, engineered it to within an inch of its life, and it probably microwaves quite well. I'm still going to keep putting it in the conventional oven because I'm set in my ways.
No, I think that's good.
Something I often eat like while working. So like I'll like, you know, pop it in the oven. I'll continue working for half an hour while it bakes. Then I'll take it out and burn my tongue on it.
No, I like that. I appreciate the reminder that that frozen foods don't have to be about instant gratification. They can also be about like just having a decent meal that you didn't have to cook yourself.
Yeah, that's something we all need to remind ourselves of from time to time. Stop and smell the frozen pizza.
That's right.
One other thing that I wanted to mention that is like French bread pizza adjacent. Are you familiar with the concept of pizza toast in Japan?
No.
I'm going to admit that it is something that I have never tried, but I'm sure I will at some point. So like after World War II, like in the 50s, pizza became available in Japan, but like as a luxury food that you would like get at a nice restaurant that was quite expensive and like out of reach of average people. But people like knew about it and wanted to try it. So in 1964, an enterprising coffee shop owner created pizza toast, and it became a huge hit, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a slice of shokupan that is topped with pizza toppings and toasted. And you can still get it at a large proportion of Japanese coffee shops today. I've never tried it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very interested. I mean, I think that part of, for me, what I love about shokupan is, you know, the texture of that crumb. And I can't quite picture how that might hold up under the moisture of some sauce.
Yeah. Like when I was in Tokyo recently, I got two times at Monoma Cafe, I got the open face croque monsieur bacon mushroom toast, which was like, you know, it was clearly like kind of inspired by the same thing and held up really well. Like it was a terrific toast. So I'm gonna try some pizza toast next time.
Great. All right, Matthew, we need these listeners here to send us some spilled mail. The mailbag is dry at the moment.
That's true.
Is a mailbag wet if it has mail in it?
It's a wet garlic cheese. We need to fill our mailbag with wet garlic cheese.
Okay.
And strain it.
Send us some mail, everybody, because we love your mail.
We've been using our mailbag lately to make Greek yogurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Matthew, what you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. or I'll release the Kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking?
It's Fritos again, but it's a different flavor of Fritos that I didn't know existed. Did you know that there's barbecue Fritos?
No, but that seems logical.
It does seem logical, but I'd never seen them before until I found them at Safeway the other day. And Watzel claims that they are better than the chili cheese Fritos that I mentioned possibly last week. I don't know if I would say they're better, but they're an excellent barbecue chip. And this episode is not sponsored by Fritos, but Fritos, feel free to get in touch.
Excellent. I would like to use my time on What You Snackin' to just send up a word of praise for Jif Natural.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've gone through like many different brand loyalties in my lifetime of eating and loving peanut butter. Like as a kid, I grew up on Peter Pan. Then as a young adult, I was like, oh, I should use the kind that you have to stir.
And oh, yeah. Adams.
Yep. Mm. A few years ago, you know, I think it was sometime after Brandon and I split up because he is very much like a natural peanut butter kind of guy. Yeah. And I discovered post-divorce, this is the kind of thing divorce is good for. I discovered what kind of peanut butter person I really am.
And which is an emulsified peanut butter person.
I am an emulsified peanut butter person. Life is too short for me to eat peanut butter that is not properly salted and slightly sweetened if needed. I am a huge fan of Jif Natural.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's slightly less candy-like.
Yeah, yeah. No, I buy regular Jif creamy, but it is very candy-like.
Yeah. Jif Natural, I think, is... If you haven't had regular Jif in a while, Jif Natural will come to taste exactly like regular old peanut butter.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jif Natural is delicious. I eat so much of it. Literally, my entire family eats so much Jif Natural peanut butter, and I would like to thank them for keeping us alive.
When you snack on it, do you just like go into the jar with a spoon or knife?
So yeah, right now we have a big jar and I'm going in with the spoon, and it's usually like around 3 a.m. or so.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when I'm doing the shift handoff with Ash with the baby. However, when we get further into the jar, I'm going to use a knife and then use the knife to kind of scrape peanut butter into the spoon. Because I don't like to get peanut butter on the back side of the spoon. And when you get further down in the jar, it's like harder to get it out with a spoon. And I have to make a lot of aesthetic choices.
I don't like to get peanut butter on my backside either. I always just go in with the knife. We've talked about this before, but I just go in with the knife and just lick it off the knife. Very satisfying.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't like it. Inevitably, there's a little peanut butter around the lip of the jar, and it gets kind of like on the handle of the knife.
I don't like that. Yeah, yeah.
That bothers me. Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah, life
is hard. But Jif Natural, thank you for being you.
Thanks for keeping it natural.
Yeah. Matthew, do you have a now but wow?
I do. This is a book that I finished last night. It is middle grade fiction, and it's called The Not-So-Uniform Life of Holly May by Christine Matula. And it's about Holly May, who is a middle schooler in Toronto. And one night, her mom announces that she's gotten a promotion and the whole family will be moving to Hong Kong for 2 years. And so, like, you have probably read this kind of middle grade or YA book before, where, like, a kid gets uprooted and to possibly, like, their ancestral homeland. And what makes this one a little different is that Holly May is, first of all, her mom's side of the family is Taiwanese Canadian, and her dad's side of the family is white. So there is that kind of bit of cultural navigation. And also, they're going to Hong Kong, which is not Taiwan. So it's not like they're, you know, returning to like, where her family comes from. They're going to a different part of the Chinese speaking world. And she has to navigate that experience with linguistic difference also. She has like been studying Mandarin, but they speak Cantonese in Hong Kong. I've been to Hong Kong a couple of times. I love it there. And it really, you know, brings the city to life. There's a lot of food. And my favorite kind of character is one that makes realistic mistakes instead of being perfect.
Delightful. Matthew, would you tell us again the name of the book?
The Not-So-Uniform Life of Holly May by Christine Matula. Oh, and the sequel is coming out next month.
Ooh,
or actually,
okay.
If this is April, it's coming out this month. It may be out by the time you hear this.
Fantastic. Well, our producer is Abby Circatella. And you know, Matthew, I just want to mention, so Abby has been working with us for a very long time. We would be lost without Abby.
Oh yeah, like the Titanic.
I don't know if our listeners know that Abby works for other podcasts too, as a podcast producer and editor. Abby also works with writers as a fiction development editor. So everybody out there, you should hire Abby. She can make you sound as good as she makes us sound.
Yes. Let me find her website here. It's abigailcircatella.com.
And seriously, we cannot recommend Abby highly enough.
Yeah. If you have like a novel manuscript that you know needs some help and you don't know what to do with it, send it over to Abby. She'll know what to do with it. She's real good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're thinking of starting a podcast, there is no one better you could hire.
All right. You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You can hang out with other people who listen to the show at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
And you can talk about, I don't know, maybe you know what happened to Pepperidge Farm French bread pizza.
Yeah. What if it never existed and it's like a Mandela effect thing?
What's the Mandela effect?
The Mandela effect is like a thing that people on the internet were talking about like a few years ago, where some people believe that Nelson Mandela died in jail and they have like a really vivid memory of this, even though it didn't happen. And then the other examples are that people remember the Berenstain Bears being spelled two different ways, and people remember their being a movie like that Sinbad made a movie where he was a genie, but he didn't.
You know, I remember this was, that I...
If you're not familiar with this concept, everything I said was just like a load of garbage.
I remember that I became a billionaire last year at the age of 43.
Okay.
And I just don't know why the whole world has not acknowledged it and given me my money.
But I mean, like, how did you do it? Was it oil?
Why are you asking questions? It just happened to me.
Was it podcasting?
Yes, it was podcasting.
And I didn't get my share?
Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that's riding the hot truck all along the Oregon Trail to finally get to our ancestral homeland.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
The show that, I don't know,
this episode, Matthew, dear God.
I live by routines, but I especially love my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. And my shopper knows this about me. When Sunday rolls around and I place my weekly stock-up order, Joe sends texts from the aisles. Wilted lettuce? Nuh-uh. Hard pass. Deal on my favorite sparkling water? Whew. Grab two. Fresh flowers just because? Sounds like a delightful idea. If you love routines that work for you, get Shipt same-day delivery. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.